Martin, this is quite an event organised, and I've caught you in between tastings to ask you just a few more questions. What initially sparked this idea of having a world international chocolate competition?
Well, I think something that's going on is the British fine chocolate movement, and the British opinion is really being respected, and the world is kind of looking at London as somewhere that we're having a kind of new take. I think as like many kind of food types, we're very good at looking from maybe our own qualities, not been that low in the past and not been that high in the past, so we're quite good at reinventing. We've got a very vibrant scene in London. London's one of the top five chocolate cities in the world now, if you can find the good artisanal shops. So the world's kind of looking at us as leading the way. I think us and the US, where they've also similar situation, coming from a kind of candy background and rediscovering cacao, rediscovering good chocolate, and discovering the whole fine chocolate movement. So that's quite exciting. So I think that there's a lot of respect for the British in that. And some of the kind of national awards which are done before gained a lot of respect, a lot of people from around the world wanting to enter that. So we really saw the demand for an international awards, where a lot of this kind of awards celebrating the products rather than craft doesn't exist in the world. So Kate Johns, who runs Chocolate Week and Chocolate Unwrapped, and myself really saw the need for this. And we also wanted to create something that was independent and engage with as much as the international community as we could. So we've got a lot of independent experts from around the world, and we've consulted the industry and entrants. So it's really meant to be a competition for the industry, for the consumers, to really highlight the best in the world, and also help support fine chocolate movement in new places, in new areas. And help markets develop and help consumers understand what really is fine chocolate.
Martin, how did you personally get involved with this? What's your sort of background and how did you get involved?
Well, I run a website called 70%, and I've been running that. That's been going for about 11 years. And I was lucky enough to get into fine chocolate and dark chocolate and 70% chocolate when I was very young. So I've kind of followed that through, and the chocolate market is completely transformed in that time. When we began, there were maybe four or five known good chocolate makers, and the idea of origin chocolate was also almost unheard of. Now we've this world which is like the connoisseurship of wine. We have flavors and notes coming from different origin chocolate, from different countries, made in different locations. It's as wide and as exciting as wine. So it's a really exciting time to be involved with this. So I'm carried along by the journey, and also the connection with the source, with the cacao, because something I didn't expect when I began doing this was I'd actually get loads of cacao farmers getting in touch with me saying, well, hey, what about us? You know, we make this great cacao. We don't get any recognition. So I think it's part of the connection with people wanting to know more about where their food comes from. That's really happening in chocolate as well. And we're also, similar people, launching another initiative called Direct Cacao, which is a way of connecting consumers and chocolate makers more directly with the cacao source.
We've gone from absolute silence while we've been testing to everybody really, the samples have been removed from the table so we can't influence the decision, and everybody is really sort of discussing the merits of each of the chocolates now that they've gone. It's very stringent, your criteria. It's really, you've nailed it right down. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, we really wanted to develop a technique and a process for judging, and I think we're still in the early stages of that. It's only our first year, but we wanted something that just wasn't off the cuff and kind of random. And we did a lot of work with great people here in Italy, in Germany, Sweden, New York, Vancouver, lots of test judging. So we kind of went through beta stages of our judging. We threw away the forms and started again. So we did a lot of work to come up with a system. We recognise the world is not full of chocolate sommeliers. The level of knowledge of chocolate for all of us is still just beginning to learn. So we wanted a system which worked with the general opinion that people had, or food experts, or chefs, or patissiers. So a system that's open and easy to use, but is also very thorough and gives a very reliable result as well, we hope.
How many people have been involved in the judging process, and what sort of judges that have you invited?
I don't know the exact number, but I would imagine a couple of hundreds. And we usually have a mix of the grand jury, which travels around as much as possible, guest grand jury members. But we also have maybe local experts, and then we'll invite a range of chefs, food journalists, people in similar kind of fields like sommeliers or something who have knowledge in one area, so know how to apply it to chocolate. So and bloggers and people like that who are more in touch with the consumer. So to try and get a whole range of opinion, really.
And then you have a sort of algorithm that adds all the scores up to give an overall picture. And I mean, so far, have you found that certain chocolates really sort of whoosh and stand right out against the others? Or has it been really tight?
Well, both have happened. There's sometimes a nice moment where there's real agreement between the expert opinion and what the majority of judges like as well. And the products which have really scored very well, they've really come from the main judges, not from the experts or the grand jury. And then that's an easy box for the grand jury to tick and go, well, okay, the judges have voted for this, then, you know, there's no technical problems, no reason why that can't get the highest gold award. So there is that moment where you get certain chocolates are like, just, yes, this is the one. This does something for me. I want to eat a box load of it. Give it to me now. There's that effect, and that's great when that happens. That's really exciting.
There was a chocolate on there that I was wondering if anyone would have missed if I'd have pinched it.
Oh,
I didn't.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm
really, really delicious.
Yeah, no, it's great when you get some fantastic ones. And what's great about this session, the World Final, you know, we're really tasting the best of the best in the competition. So this is a pleasure, really. That there's been. What we're tasting now has already been through three rounds of judging, so it's really the peak of the pyramid. So that's a nice experience to have. But it's an important part of what we do is we try and keep the sessions light. We don't want to overload people's palates. We have the palate check we do. We have the soupy polenta, which is our magic formula for cleaning the palate. We want to make it an enjoyable experience because that's what chocolate should be about.
So from today's winner, or the winner's day, where do you go next? Do you announce at a certain place, at a certain time? What's the next step?
Well, our deadline for announcing, it's very tight. We've got to finish our decisions tomorrow night and have them ready for printing to be displayed at Chocolate Unwrapped at the weekend, which is the big fine chocolate show. Probably not in quantity, but in quality, one of the best fine chocolate shows in the world. And we'll be announcing the results so that the winner's there. So
I shall come along. What time are you going to announce?
I think we'll, from the first morning, if all goes well, we'll have the winners displayed, and we'll have the winners will be able to display there.
That's this Saturday morning?
Saturday morning coming. Saturday and Sunday in Covent Garden.
Martin, I'll be there.
Fantastic. Thank you. Look forward to seeing you and come and taste some more great chocolate.
Back to the judging. It's a tough job, isn't it?
Back to work. More chocolates. Well, we have tasted over 600 samples in all of this competition. We're already planning next year. I imagine there'll be more. But this is only our first year, so it's a small beginning. We're going to have we already have an Israeli competition planned and booked for next year, and we're hoping to do a growing country competition because one of the big movements is to make chocolate in the cacao growing countries. Because it doesn't make it, making chocolate in Europe or America, it would be like exporting grapes from France and making wine in Argentina. It makes no sense. So there's a movement towards making chocolate in the cacao growing countries. You bring much more value back to the country. That's way beyond fair trade.
I'm going to ask a question there. You mentioned fair trade, but I was out in Uganda in June.
Yes.
It was so hot.
Yes.
When I did take some chocolate. In fact, I took some of Chantel's Rococo chocolates over to Lulu Steady when I was visiting in Dali Vanilla.
Okay.
They didn't survive the journey terribly well. They did, and I didn't eat too many of them, but on the way. But do you think that's a good idea if to make them in a hot country? That doesn't maybe the European climate is a bit more suited, perhaps?
A very good example, and it's for sure not the only one, would be Pekari in Ecuador, who won the top gold awards in the Americas. and they produce in Quito, which is in the Andes at 2,800 meters. The climate is slightly nicer than London, but around the same kind of temperature, maybe not as much rain. So it's quite possible a lot of those countries, and Madagascar is the same. Madagascar has a central area which is relatively temperate. So that works, but it can still be done. There are guys like Mott Green of Grenada Chocolate Company, Grenada, who make pretty good, nice chocolate, which you can buy in the UK in a tropical climate. It's done in Nicaragua, and we have to remember cacao and chocolate and solid chocolate and drinking chocolate are all tropical products from Central America. So there's thousands of years of tradition of doing that. So who are we to come along and say, well, this is the way you should be doing it? That they know better. They've been doing it longer. But that's a really exciting movement, is that it is possible to make great chocolate in cacao countries. That's a whole big subject.
We might come back to you on that. Martin, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Cheers. Thank you.